everyone. Remember us? It is time for the Ringside Rundown podcast brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. She is the one, the only Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
You know, not much. Just back from Florida, which that was a... I don't want to spend the entire podcast talking about it because I easily could, but I just will. I will say, if you are a fan of Star Wars, you need to go to Galaxy's Edge. It is like some of the most immersive environments that I have ever been in. I spent too much money, but yeah, definitely Star Wars fans need to go see it because I cannot say enough about it. So there's that. The Steelers won earlier today, so you know what, things are good over here. Did the Giants win? I don't remember, honestly.
The Giants are playing at this moment. So, we had a little technical difficulty before we started recording. So, I haven't checked the score or anything like that. Like I said, we had a technical difficulty, but we got it all figured out. And I'm glad you had a good time in Florida. Are you excited to come back to 30-degree weather?
It's going to sound so funny, but yeah, because I don't mind the cold weather. I actually enjoy it. Most people don't, because everybody I was talking to before I left, I was saying, yeah, it's going to be sunny and like 80s all week. And everybody was so jealous, and I didn't mind it. It honestly wasn't bad, but I do like wearing my hoodies and flannels. So I miss the cold a little bit, but... It was definitely worth it, though.
That's good. I'm glad you had a good time. I definitely missed you, and it seems like the wrestling world missed us and missed our rants about what's going on in the world of wrestling.
I know, because it seemed like, because obviously, as you'll explain in a minute, we're just going to do the questions today, but I feel like I literally said on the last show we did, I'm like, I really hope nothing, you know, big happens while I'm gone, because then... I feel like we're going to miss it, or we're going to end up talking about it. And then literally that same week that I left, Tegan Nox came back and Ruby came back. And I was just not surprised. Oh, happy, obviously. But I'm like, God damn it. Really? It's like you guys couldn't have waited a week until I was back. But happy they're back. But yeah, we still have a lot to talk about this week because there were some shenanigans.
There's shenanigans indeed. One thing we didn't get a question about, which I'm surprised, is the whole Mandy Rose situation going down in NXT. For those that live under a rock, basically, and are listening to this podcast, Mandy Rose is no longer with the WWE, dropping her title after her 413-day reign as NXT Women's Champion. Now, the parameters surrounding her departure from WWE are definitely what's got everybody talking about. But there are a lot of things that, you know, kind of are, what's the word I'm looking for? Misconstrued by, you know,
by what's going on?
Yeah, definitely hazy for sure.
Yeah, because I've seen multiple versions of this whole thing go down. Like, first off, I saw the Roxanne Perez won, and I'm like, you know what, good for her. I kind of expected her to beat Mandy anyway, so I'm like, that's great, whatever. And then literally the next day to see, oh yeah, Mandy Rose got released, I went, wait, hold on, that's, something's not right about this, because that was a little quick for, you know, dropping the title to immediately getting released. And then when you see all the things that were going around, like the two big versions I saw, I don't know about you, were her OnlyFans. The officials didn't like what she was posting on there, and felt like she was, how did they word it? They felt like it was out of the parameters of her contract.
Right.
And then they just, out of nowhere, just released her. And then there was another version where they still didn't like the content she was posting, but they had a mutual like parting of ways, because they talked about bringing her up to the main roster, that whatever, and they just couldn't come to an agreement. So no one really know, as we always say, there's one side, the other side, and then the truth somewhere in the middle. So who knows if she knew that she was getting released and or felt blindsided by it. No one really knows. Oh, it is such a double-edged sword, because I don't want to, obviously you don't want to, just to play devil's advocate, let's put it that way. From WWE's point of view, as scummy as it is, they're a business. They were seeing the amount of money she was making by herself and went, hey, now, you're our property, technically, again, as scummy as it sounds, but you're under our contract and you're making all of this money, which supposedly I heard was like main roster level money off of the OnlyFans alone.
She was making like six figures.
Yeah. So it kind of, it almost reeked of the whole Twitch thing again, where it was like, oh, you guys are making some decent money and we're not able to exploit that. So we don't like that.
Right.
But also, if she had contract terms and whatever she was posting, which apparently was very XXX rated, we'll just say.
Yeah, I'll get into that after you're done.
Yeah. I see their point because they're still technically PG, PG-13 product. So I get it. But at the same time, you cannot pull the, oh, well, she's our, like, under our contract card, but at the same time, essentially making her pretty much a sex symbol the entire time she was champion. So it kind of just, again, feels very scummy, where it almost reeked of, you're not allowed to sexualize yourself, but we are. And I don't like that, because it's like, okay, so she's not allowed to do what she wants to do, clearly, and obviously making a profit off of it. And again, I get it to a degree, but at the same time, you can't fire her, essentially, over the same thing you were doing to her, but it was okay because you guys are doing it.
Yeah. I see your point there. This is tricky, because you don't want to upset groups of people, you know, with your take, you know. But obviously that's what we do here. We kind of debate what's going on. And allow me to preface this with saying that I love Mandy Rose. I thought Mandy Rose is great. I thought she was everything from the Attitude Era that a diva was, but she had some wrestling ability. And her wrestling ability was growing by the minute. She was able to carry things. So I'm definitely saddened by the fact that we won't see Mandy Rose anymore. I thought she was great. I thought she was a phenomenal champion. I thought she was carrying the belt very well. As far as what was happening, okay, her content that she was putting out.
Yeah.
Of course, I follow a bunch of degenerates on Twitter, so of course I came across the content that was put out there.
Oh, okay.
There was nipples out. There was some shower pictures with her and her fiance in compromising positions. There was video posts where she was clearly topless and she knew she was topless on screen, but she didn't care. I'm not saying that none of this is right or wrong. I'm not saying the type of content that she was putting out was right or wrong. I don't care for the content. That's her prerogative. If that's what she wants to do, if that's how she feels she wants to make money, then by all means, I'll never ever criticize how somebody puts money in their pocket.
Absolutely. All right?
You know, so it has nothing to do with the content. However, Mandy Rose is not a person. Mandy Rose is an intellectual property, and that intellectual property belongs to WWE.
Yep.
And like you said, on one side, they could look at it and said, she's making a lot of money, but she's making a lot of money with the name that we gave her.
Yeah.
And this is the topic that I brought up to friends and to my brother when we were talking about it. Would she be making the same amount of money from that content if her name wasn't Mandy Rose, WWE Superstar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is WWE's standpoint. You're making money off of the fact that you are our intellectual property that we put on TV on a weekly basis to millions upon millions of people that now can go and get this content if they so mean.
Yeah. It's not like they know. I mean, obviously, a Google search, you know who her actual name is, but most people know her as Mandy Rose, WWE Superstar. And obviously, like, prefacing what you were saying, too, I have absolutely no problem with what she was doing. If you want to make money doing that, by all means, go for it. It's, again, not something I would do personally, but I'm not going to judge somebody else for doing that. You know, do you, whatever. However, if you know what the parameters of your contract are for your employer, not the thing you're making the money off of, your actual employer, you should have known something was going to happen.
Right. And like I saw someone say on TikTok, they were like you said, like even you said, a lot of what WWE does is scummy, especially when it comes to the exploitation of women's bodies. Yes. However, this is really not the case because it's contract law. You signed signed certain things away when you signed that contract. One of those things is, hey, you can't make all this extra money, especially posting this type of content on the name Mandy Rose, because that's our property. Mm-hmm. We are a publicly traded entity. Not only that, but it goes against her parameters of her contract with Mattel that makes the action figures. Again, they make action figure toys. Mm-hmm. So does this really work out well for someone who's posting X-rated content? Like, I could understand if the content was just her in a bikini, like anything that she posted that you could probably see on her Instagram.
Yeah.
However, this was X-rated content. Yes. You know, that is for certain eyes only. And I feel like WWE, in a way, probably went to her and say, hey, you either have to take this content down, shut down the page, or we have to mutually part ways. And she was given that option. I'm just guessing she was given that option. That only seems like the most logical thing in the world to be given that option. And she chose her content over her WWE contract, which is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
We're not criticizing her at all. I don't think we have anything negative in terms of what happened. We're just kind of shocked by it. But mm-hmm. again, I think as adults, we kind of understand WWE's positioning here. And I think they knew that they were going to come out as the bad guys no matter which way they, you know, were going to go with this.
Yeah. And honestly, if I were in her position and supposedly making the amount of money she was making, you would go with whatever was making you more money. And it wasn't her contract with WWE. For sure.
And she doesn't have to take bumps and injure herself and
mutilate
her body after years of working in the ring. So, hey, if that works for her, then like I said, almighty, you know, I'm going to miss her in the ring because I thought she was actually putting it together. And
this
title reign, like, I haven't watched NXT in weeks. OK,
I'm going
to be upfront with you. If we're not recording on the week, then I'm probably going to skip over NXT, but I caught NXT this week, and instantly when that match was made, I didn't think, obviously none of us knew that Mandy Rose was going to leave the company the next day, but I figured, oh, they're trying to make something important happen on TV. They're on this path of making important matches, much like the main roster, happen on TV. So this was another important match, and the match was great. I thought the match was pretty good itself. I was shocked that Roxanne won, but I thought, to me, in my head, I was just like, well, that's a logical step in the story. They didn't want to wait all the way till January to make it happen. They wanted that to happen now, you know, strike while the iron's hot. I didn't know that Mandy Rose was going to leave over this whole situation. And like I said, it sucks when you're WWE because you have a history of having this bad publicity and bad press.
Yeah.
But what else were they going to do? Allow her to keep posting the X-rated content, making money as Mandy Rose, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's
what were they going to do?
Yeah, it's tough because you easily just want to have the situation be one person was clearly in the wrong and that's it. But you can see both sides. For Mandy, do whatever the hell you want to do. It is your body. Use it however you want, as it should be. But at the same time, you had a contract. You knew what that contract, said contract, had in it and its parameters, and you still did it anyways. So, yeah, it's just tough because, again, at the same time, WWE has to protect themselves, which, again, mm-hmm. it's so scummy to say, but it's the truth. But at the same time, you fired her for the same things that you guys were doing yourselves on TV every week. So it was definitely a double standard, but yeah,
I think it was the explicit, the content itself. Yeah. You know, if this was just Mandy Rose in a bikini, in a thong bikini, just going around prancing around, they probably wouldn't have cared as much. They probably would have told her to still shut the page down because it was making money. But it wasn't. It wouldn't have been such a thing where, you know, we as the public were kind of blindsided. Because, again, I feel like she was given an option because of the nature of this content. She was given an option. Like, do you want to continue working for the WWE or do you want to make money this way? She chose that way. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with what she decided to do. It's just that's contract law. That's contracts. That's how contracts work. There are no morality in contracts and business and money. There's no morality in it. It's black and white, pen and paper. She signed it. She knew what she was getting into, and she broke the parameters of her contract, forcing WWE to go ahead and do what they did. Now people can go, well, what about when they used to have Playboy models and people in Playboy and all that stuff? Here's the thing about that. That was a contract business agreement between Playboy and WWE. WWE made money off of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm sure if they were, and not that they would, but I'm sure if they worked out a contract with Mandy Rose that says you give us X amount of your percentage that you make from this content and everything is good, you know, that could, not that they would do that, but that's an avenue they could have went, you know, because they were making money. Again, only one side of this thing, this whole situation was making money, and that was Mandy Rose.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's just a shame. Unfortunately, it's, as we said, scummy as it is, that's business for you.
That is business. That is contracts. That is business. That is no morality at all.
No, and it's just tough because, again, you feel like you might know most, if not most of your contract, but they always have those little like hidden fine prints in there, or even just the glaring. But like, for example, I can't as an employee of my employer, I just can't go onto my social media and just complain about how I hate my job without not even naming it specifically. But if people know where I work, that's still a breach of contract. I'm not allowed to do that. So if you know what you can and can't do with your contract that you signed and most likely had a lawyer look over, you should know what you can and can't do. And, no one's ever above it.
You're right. And on the flip side of that, you know, you could say, well, free speech, I should be able to criticize my job without getting in trouble. Of course. Of course. But that's not the way the world works.
No. You know? If it's an illegally binding contract, it doesn't matter about free speech.
The world doesn't work that way. We can't just pick up and just do whatever we want to do on the sake of the fact that we're just human beings and we can do it. It just doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have roadblocks and hurdles that we can't get over. And Mandy Rose thought she can two-time the WWE, which, again, like I said, if the nature of this content wasn't so explicit, she probably could have gone on with it for a long time. That's where, A, she messed up, but she didn't, because then, again, she's making six figures right now without the WWE.
Yeah, it's just tough because it's like she should have seen this to a degree coming because of all the stuff that happened with Twitch. Like, this isn't the first time this has happened. It was just different content, but it came back down to the WWE's intellectual properties were making money that they couldn't capitalize on. That's literally point blank, period, end of the story.
Right.
And it's a shame, but that's business.
Yeah, I guarantee within a couple years she'll probably be back in the WWE. I don't think she's gonna be going back hands and knees groveling, please give me my job back. I think they're gonna come to a point where they realize they both mutually need each other. Because like I said, she was actually, this whole toxic attraction thing was working. It was working, and it was, and you saw the adulation she got at the end where everybody was like, thank you, Mandy. Who knew? We saw this happening when she won, and we're just like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah. You know,
how can they put the title on Mandy Rose? And for 413 days, she made it work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She was getting better. I was personally never a fan, but I can at least admit that she was definitely improving. And she, like you said, she was putting everything together. She was finally looking like she belonged, and for that to happen was just it's a shame.
Definitely is.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It's just crazy, and that wasn't even some of the craziest stuff that's happened this week, but we'll get to that in the questions, but
for sure.
Yeah, it was a mess.
For sure.
All right, so let me.
So we're after, you know, I'm glad I was able to get that out and get, because the whole week I was just wondering, how am I going to articulate this without angering people and people not knowing that, hey, I get it. I get the morality aspect of it, but I also get that it's a business thing, and business is cutthroat, and there are no morals when it comes to business. There's only dollar signs, and that's the situation it is. But here we are. Mandy Rose is no longer a part of WWE NXT, ending her 413-day reign. And it's funny because we stumbled upon a question that another Twitter account asked about NXT titles. And when it comes to the women's title, who do we associate the NXT women's title with when it comes to mine? And that was pretty hard for me to do.
Yeah, it was... for me at least, it was easy, but it also wasn't, because there's so many names that come to mind just thinking about it. You think of Paige is one of the first ones that comes to mind. Obviously, Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, Asuka. It's like there's so many incredible women that have held that title that we could easily pick any one of them, and there would be people who would be like, yeah, that makes total sense, because they've all just been incredible champions with that title. And it was every single one of them had that thing that we always say where the title didn't make them. They fully made the title, I think.
Right.
But I'll let you go first. Who's the first person you think of who do you think most made the title?
Well, it was hard for me to choose. So the only way I could choose, I had to do a top three.
Okay.
I had to pick three, because I felt like you said, there are so many women that you can associate this title with, that, you know, the possibilities are infinite. But for my third choice, I'm going with who we just spoke about. I'm going with Mandy Rose.
Okay.
Because of the simple fact that for 413 days, she made the title relevant. Not only that, but she ended up taking the NXT UK women's title as well to combine the two titles, which I think is a pretty big thing. And she, again, was one of those things where she ended up, we ended up thinking when she won, okay, the title's going to make her, but she ended up flipping it on us and she made the title work. So for my third one, I'm going with Mandy Rose. For my second one, I'm going with your favorite, Shayna Baszler. I thought the quality of matches that Shayna was having, especially on TakeOver events, with like Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, and things like that, those matches really stand out as some great matches, because they were matches where, you know, as fans, we're rooting for Shayna, maybe not you, but most fans are rooting for her to lose, and for some way, with no help at all, with no help, just winning it cleanly, she wins the title, and she kept this momentous reign going until she lost it to Rhea Ripley. But I had to go with Shayna Baszler at number two, and then at number one, I had to go with Asuka, simply for the simple fact that she held it, and she never lost it. She had to relinquish it. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
She never, they literally gave Oscar her flowers when she went up to the main roster. She relinquished the NXT title, never losing it. It was something, what, like 500 something matches that she was going on that she just wasn't losing. So she was on an incredible streak. I had to go with Asuka for the simple fact that she could still technically be NXT champion now if she wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, if you think maybe she still is in another universe, she pretty, like you said, never lost a title. So, yeah, no, those are some three good ones. I feel like we know what my number one is, but I actually, I came up with two, at least for me, personally. And the first one's Paige, because if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have gotten into women's wrestling as like at that time, because I've said it on the show plenty of times, just when I got into wrestling, the women were definitely not the high point of the show. They were always kind of the low point, and it was very frustrating trying to find somebody on that roster that I'm like, oh yeah, no, I definitely like see me in that wrestler, until she came along and it's like, okay, finally someone that I can get behind, someone that like acts like me, doesn't want to be the typical, like, you know, pretty blonde diva. She didn't care what people thought of her. She was, again, the anti-diva. Like, that was mind-blowing to me back then. And so just to see her with that title, it was just, it just felt right, because it's like, okay, people like me can actually get to that point. So I'm like, that was really cool to see. So definitely one of the first ones I think of when I think of the NXT women's title. And of course, I have to say my other one immediately is Shayna, because obvious, you actually took the words right out of my mouth as to why I was going to put her. It was just like the matches she would have, especially a takeover. Like you said, Ember, Nikki Cross, Kairi Sane, of course, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I actually did, because when I was thinking about this question, it reminded me of an article I wrote for TWM a few years ago, where I kind of broke down Asuka and Shayna's reigns and made a decision personally as to who I thought had like the best reign of all time. And it's going to... I may get canceled for this. Who knows? I actually did say Shayna was like the better overall champion for those matches, because, again, like you said, we're on the same wavelength as usual, because you would go into those matches being like, oh, is this finally going to be the time that Shayna loses? Because, okay, someone has to finally get to where this is going to be the one. Like, hell, I even remember saying, okay, well, maybe Mia Yim at the time is going to be the one to like take the belt off, or who knows? Or it might be Io, it might be Kairi again. Asuka, I never felt that with, because it's like, okay, she was just on another level, almost to the degree of like, okay, no one's going to beat her. And like her feud with Ember Moon, I'm like, okay, maybe, but she kept beating her somehow. And I'm like, no one's ever going to beat her. And turns out I was right, because she never lost the title technically. So I just think for like the quality of the matches and storyline she had, and just both runs too. Like, she technically, if you add both her reigns up, is the longest reigning combined reigns of all time with Shayna. So yeah, I'd say easily Paige and Shayna are the two that I immediately think of when I think of the title, because of obviously personal reasons, but there's just so many we could have talked about. Again, we could have talked about Sasha and how her and Bayley and them were just revolutionizing women's wrestling at the time. Is, you know, as cliched as it is, it was the truth. And like, again, Bayley and Asuka, again, we could talk about Asuka for how long. And yeah, the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's the great thing about NXT, is that they've had a long lineage of fine women's wrestling champions. Something that, you know, the belt itself has a legacy.
Yes.
You know, I think that's important. It's prestigious, and it's something that's going to be great for Roxanne Perez. I think Roxanne Perez is fantastic, and I think she's going to be a great champion. I think Roxanne Perez has a little bit of what everybody else in NXT has. There's a lot of different variety when it comes to the women's wrestling in NXT, which is what I was seeing when I was watching the show. I mean, you have Ivy Nile, you have Tatum Paxley, both powerhouses that are pretty good. I like those guys. You have, and then on the top of it, you have someone as young as Roxanne, who's just got it all together. She's only 21 years old, and she, this year alone, she's won the ROH Women's Championship and the NXT Women's Championship, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's mind blowing, and there is so much potential for her reign. I would love to, and I have a feeling we're going to see her and Cora J go at it again. Yeah. And now for the title, oh boy, that feud is going to be fun.
And the thing about Cora Jade, too, is Cora Jade, the last time I saw her in the ring, it looked like it's clicking, you know? Yes. Like, you know when you can see it working for someone in the ring? It looked like it was clicking for her, and she's actually putting it together very well. So, like you said, her and Cora Jade could probably, and that'd be so cool to see two young talent, like, as young as they are, carrying a division. That's going to be cool to see.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to see it. But, yeah, it's a... It looks like it's looking up for the NXT women's division right now. And honestly, NXT as a whole, it's starting to finally move away from the 2.0, because clearly, as we have said time and time again, the 2.0 kind of thing was not working at all.
Yeah, they tried to do everything was the exact opposite of the Triple H vision that they tried to do in NXT. And there were so many things that were working right for NXT under Triple H that when they tried to do the exact opposite happened. And it was just failing kind of miserably, and people just weren't picking it up. But now they're picking up talent, and they're figuring out how to use some of their talent, like JD McDonagh, Carmelo Hayes, people like that. They're figuring out that those are the top echelon of their brand, and that they can really use them and make something out of this product.
Yeah, exactly. So things are finally turning around for NXT, and it's about time, because it was a little painful there for a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So I think now that we've got all the extra stuff out of the way, we need to get to our favorite part of the show, which is now the entirety of the show, which is the questions.
Yes.
And we got quite a few. My goodness.
I'm excited.
The listeners never disappoint. I always give them credit. They definitely come up with good questions and plenty of them. So let me.
They always stick around no matter, and they're always excited, because sometimes we have to take these breaks, and because real life gets in the way, and real life is more important than this podcast, unfortunately. Yeah. So like, but they always stick by us, and that's pretty cool. They're always anticipating a new episode. So when we announce that our new episode is coming, everybody gets excited, and that just motivates me to want to keep going, you know?
Exactly. They're always sticking around, and we always appreciate it, because we wouldn't be where we are without them. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, we could just be talking into the void to just pretty much each other. But no, people actually listen to it and want to hear it. So yeah, we appreciate the listeners, because obviously without them, we would not be here right now.
For sure.
All right, so let me pull the questions up here. So we're going to start with Jeff's. So Jeff, thank you as always for your questions. The first one is something from SmackDown this week, which was I knew we were going to want to talk about, and I hope somebody would ask, is who do we think is playing Uncle Howdy? He thinks it's Bo Dallas.
Oh, Bo Dallas. That's interesting.
Which, I will say, that whole... it was tough, because I liked the whole thing with him and LA Knight to a degree, but I feel like it could have been done a little better. Mm-hmm. Like, they had Uncle Howdy on the stage lapping way too long. It was kind of like dragging out a little bit, where I'm like, we could have cut this by like 2 or 3 minutes and it would have had the same effect, if not a better one. Mm-hmm. But I do like now that they've added another wrinkle, because everybody just assumed that, like, the demon mask and Uncle Howdy were just, you know, demons inside Wyatt's head. But turns out Uncle Howdy's actually a real person. So I like that we kind of flipped that theory on its head a little bit. So it adds a whole other wrinkle to the whole Wyatt thing. Obviously, I don't want to get into it too much, because I know we have another question about it later. But I feel like It honestly depends on if they're actually going to eventually unmask Uncle Howdy, if he actually is someone or if he's just like a, you know, a stand-in. I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to really unmask Uncle Howdy because it's not like he's really wearing a mask. I mean, it's obvious he's wearing like, you know, like facial prosthetics or makeup or whatever, but I don't know if they're ever going to reveal who he is, because I feel like to a degree he is still just one of the devils on Wyatt's shoulder, but also clearly he is his own person or at least an entity of some sort. But I feel like it would make sense to for him to be Bo Dallas, I suppose, especially if they're going to actually make the whole Wyatt Six a thing.
Yeah. I heard that they were that Bray was kind of, I guess, politicking to get his brother back into the company. You know, which would be pretty cool because, you know, they never acknowledged on TV the fact that they were actual real life brothers or anything like that. They never took advantage of that. So hopefully if it is Bo, they could bring him back. Yeah, I have to agree with you when you said that they should have cut it down at least a couple minutes, the whole laughing segment, because there's been a lot of talk about whether or not this Bray Wyatt thing is going on too long. If it's just too much talking or anything like that. I happen to like the long drawn out, you know, long burn sort of storyline. So this one is kind of right up my alley. For me, I feel like we won't know who Uncle Howdy is for a while because there's so many other pieces to the Wyatt, like you said, the Wyatt Six, that this is just going to be more added to it. I'm just interested in the fact that they chose LA Knight to kind of carry this, you know. LA Knight being the first person to kind of go against Bray Wyatt is definitely something I didn't see happening, but I thought it was a good move. I think LA Knight is a fantastic talent, so he's kind of making this work. I think people are just hungry for some action, and I think I think if they had the action, it kind of would put this over. As far as who it is, I also heard that it could have been Vincent from ROH.
Oh yeah, yeah, I heard that rumor.
Yeah, and he's kind of playing along with it, you know, because it's getting him some notoriety, so that's pretty cool. I really don't think they can go wrong with whoever they chose to portray this character. It's just a matter of how are they gonna portray this character. Is just it's going to be someone that's kind of lurking in the shadows? Is it someone that's going to get in the ring and help Wyatt or something like that, like kind of like be maybe a manager or something like that? I don't know. I'm just interested in seeing where this is going to go with LA Knight, because LA Knight is the piece that's kind of the one bright spot that's like, oh, this is interesting. They're going with LA Knight to go against Bray Wyatt. These are two people that have never worked together before. Two very charismatic characters, both great on the microphone. And I think that's one thing that people are missing out on, too, is that they're both kind of working together on the microphone very well together.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, too. They're, again, both very good talkers. So I think it was a really good choice having LA Knight as his first opponent. Which it's going to be at some point. We got to get to some fighting at some point. I don't mind the long, like you said, the long, slow burn. Again, I know a lot of people, we've said wrestling fans have very short attention spans, so I'm not surprised the people are already complaining that we don't have any fighting yet, but I don't mind the slow burns because, like you said, okay, well, now that we know Uncle Howdy is too a degree an actual person, quote unquote, is he gonna fight? Is he gonna be like lurking in the shadows? Again, so many questions that make you want to tune in to see what else is gonna happen. But I don't really know what's gonna happen, but I want to find out, so of course I'm gonna keep watching. So they're doing their job
for sure.
All right, so let's go to, I mean, this one is a rather easy question, I think, and I feel like he asked this somewhat sarcastically, but I feel like we all knew the answer to this. Who's had the better title reign, Bianca Belair or Ronda Rousey? I don't think this is even a fight. It's Bianca. Like, come on. It's just...
I gotta say, though, now that they paired her with Shayna Baszler and they're kind of... She's kind of a dick, Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
You know? I'm kind of subtly kind of enjoying it. Her wrestling ability still needs to get there, but as far as like, there's no contest. I think Bianca Belair and Bianca Belair is just a star. You know what I'm saying? Like every time I see her in the ring, I'm reminded by the fact that she didn't pick up wrestling till late in life. You know, it wasn't a thing like she was a fan of it as a kid. She watched it all the time and she grew up wanting to be a WWE superstar. No, she was an athletic person. She always had athletic background and WWE just kind of fell into her lap and she's excellent at it.
Yeah.
You know, she's better at it than Ronda Rousey, which is crazy.
Yeah. Which it's literally a no contest. It's definitely Bianca, head and shoulders. She is a better wrestler than Ronda. She's a better talker than Ronda. It's just, it's not even close. Like you said, though, putting Shayna in there has helped a little bit, but still doesn't really help the fact that she still really can't talk and she still can't really do a lot in the ring. So we're just waiting until she takes that belt off Ronda, which I'm still waiting for. But
I've actually heard that theory happen more because I honestly thought it was just you.
Yeah.
But other people have had that same theory that it's going to be Ronda versus Shayna.
See, it's not just me, or I'm just talking it into existence. So
maybe
I'll still take credit for it. It's fine. But it's not even close. It's Bianca. Like, it's no contest. All right, this one, we have two questions about this, but they're the same topic, but different type of questions. So Jeff's version is, what do we think of the reports that Triple H is disappointed with several of the people he's brought back to WWE? Which I've seen this rumor, and I find it very interesting, and I could believe it. Obviously, I don't want to answer fully who I think it is, because we have another question about that, but there are some people that I'm like, this isn't going as well as we hoped it would. I fully understand if Triple H were to be underwhelmed by a lot of things. And it's like, who knows why? If the work ethic's not there, just it's not the same as it used to be, or I'm not sure. Obviously, I don't work for them, so I'm not sure what the problem is. But yeah, there's just some things going on right now that I'm like, wow, I was expecting this to be better than it was, and it's not at all.
Yeah, like you said, it's hard to do because we have the same question, just kind of who do we think it is. There's certain parts that I'm kind of underwhelmed with, but I feel like Triple H is going to make it work out of spite. You know. Yeah. I feel a little bit underwhelmed with like Hit Row, Legado del Fantasma. A little bit, I'm not gonna lie, Johnny Gargano, this kind of comedy stuff that he's doing with The Miz and Dexter Lumis. I'm not feeling it. But I feel like Triple H, this is where Triple H has the Vince in him, where he's gonna make it work despite, you know, us not feeling it. He's going to make it work. The thing about Triple H is he's going to make it work in a wrestling sense, you know, he's going to make it make sense. You know, that's why I have full confidence in what Triple H is doing, where, you know, cause if, like I said, Hit Row, for example, a little underwhelming, but on SmackDown, they won the right to face the Usos next week for the WWE Tag Team. After that excellent dive from Top Dollar, which I'm sure you saw.
Yeah, that was, good God, that was, I'll expand more upon that when we get to the other question, but yeah, that was not helping their case at all. But yeah, Triple H, like you said, he will, out of spite, because he will not want to hear people say, yeah, see, that's why you shouldn't have kept them. That's, I don't know what you saw in them in the first place, because they're just not doing good. He'll make it make sense, not in like the Vince way of it, where it's clearly not working in the version it's doing now, but we're just going to keep doing it because I like it and screw all of you, essentially. So yeah, I think Triple H will make it work, but there are definitely some people and just stuff in general that I'm like, this is not what I expected when they came back.
Right. Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yes, it really is, because again, you just saw these people and you're like, oh, you had such big expectations, and now it's like, yikes, that was not sure what's happening here, but it's nothing good, that's for for sure. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but what do we both think about LA Knight getting thrown into the feud with Bray Wyatt? I honestly think it's good, because again, they're both good on the mic, they're both good in the ring, and you couldn't, it was a very tough position, because you couldn't really put an established star on SmackDown against Wyatt, because no one's expecting LA Knight to win this at all. So you kind of just couldn't throw like a bigger name in there, because it would do more harm than good to one of them, because either Wyatt loses and it's like, why do you have him lose his first match back? Or you had the bigger, like the more established star that's been, you know, I don't know, we'll just say like Drew McIntyre or something, where it's like, really, you're gonna have him lose again? Like, so you had to find like a very fine line to find somebody that wasn't really in a, we'll say, big name feud, I suppose, or just not like on the main card level yet. And I think LA Knight fit the bill pretty well. And again, he's good on the mic, he's good in the ring, charisma out the wazoo, pretty much. He is just, you want to pay attention to him when he's on the screen. And he was making some good points in that promo when he went all full Ric Flair on everybody on the camera. That was that was funny.
that was great.
I saw the, I don't know if you saw the video on Twitter, but it was where they did the, they put that in with the segment that Jay Lethal and Ric Flair had in TNA. Back in the day, they threw him in on that too. And I thought that was like, that was just funny. But
oh man, I got to see that.
I'll send it to you if I can find it again. It was just perfect. But yeah, he was making some good points. It's like, you're a former champion and your return was one of the biggest returns of all time, but you kind of just don't do anything except just talk about stuff that makes no sense. And it's like, well, that's hard to argue, but yeah. And so it's definitely making for some compelling storyline right now. I'll give him that.
For sure.
Alrighty. So, I'm sure this one you and I are both thrilled for. Now that Jericho is finally no longer the Ring of Honor champion, who else is holding a belt in AEW right now that we think is going to be losing it next?
Who's going to lose?
Oh. Well, we can go down the line. MJF not losing that belt anytime soon. No way. Jamie Hayter better not be losing it anytime soon. Not happening. So that pretty much leaves Jade Cargill, The Acclaimed, and Samoa Joe. So which out of those three are losing the belt next? I would think The Acclaimed out of those three.
Yeah, I would say The Acclaimed.
Which is a shame, because they're good. It's just when you think of where the storylines are with the other two and just how the challengers are set up around them. You're not going to have Samoa Joe lose pretty much after winning the belt. You're not going to do that. I mean, it's still a shame the Wardlow lost it in the first place, but
yeah, but the King of Television thing is working.
Exactly. So he's not losing anytime soon. Jade, as much as we might not want it to happen, she's not losing it anytime soon, because at least for me, the one person that could take it off her is not coming back for God knows how many months. And we do actually have a question about that next, so I won't get too much into Jade, but yeah, there's just too many good tag teams in AEW right now that you would think the Acclaimed are most in danger of losing their title next. It has to be them.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, because I feel like the Acclaimed kind of came out of nowhere and organically had the people on their side to get them to that site to where they can win the tag team title. So, you know, it's good. It's good. AEW, in terms of their champions, are set in a good position.
Yeah. It was same with Jamie, too.
Yeah.
That was one of the most organic rises to a title that I have seen in quite some time, especially with the women. It was just crazy, because we just kind of got behind her, because we knew what she was capable of, and everyone started to finally see it, and look at her now. Same thing with the Acclaimed. They had the talent. It was one of those where you can correct me if I'm wrong. It seemed like it was almost kind of the reverse of Jamie. Mm. Jamie was always good in the ring. It was just like the character, I guess, just had to make it there. And it was, I think, the flip side with the Acclaim, where maybe they weren't as good in the ring as some of the other tag teams, but just the charisma and obviously the entrance and the rap and everything just got them over. Mm. So it's just nice to see that organically happen instead of, this is who we're going to make champion. You're going to like it regardless if you don't want it to happen or not. It's just going to happen. So, yeah. So I think they're in a good spot. But yeah, if I had to pick a champion that was in danger of losing their title, I think it's going to unfortunately be the Acclaimed. But I still don't really see that happening soon. Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. But it's, I would think it would be them.
I got to agree with you there.
And speaking of Jade Cargill, can one of us please explain to Jeff what it is that people see in Jade Cargill? Because all he sees is a mediocre talent that is subpar on the mic and maybe average at best in the ring.
Yeesh.
Well,
that fire on her.
I mean, she does. This is tough. She does have the charisma on the mic. I will give her that. Mm-hmm. I thought, and it, I don't know about you, because we've talked about it a couple times on the show, it seemed like maybe she was finally turning the corner in the ring, but then that match with Nyla just kind of took it backwards, I think, because Nyla is not terrible in the ring. We know this. We've talked about it before. She's probably one of the most like underrated people they have. But that match was just not good, because it was just, those two were not on the same page from the get-go, and it was obvious. And it seems like Jade really has not found anybody on that roster that she has decent chemistry with, and it's obvious in her matches. They just always look slow, they look disjointed. It's almost like her title matches are slow at best, disjointed and sloppy at worst, I think. And it's just not doing it. And it's become one of those things like Goldberg, where it's like, God, now there's nobody that's going to beat her at this rate right now. And it's like, what are they going to do? Because it literally just seems like the only thing they have right now is that the baddies are breaking up, because you got rid of Kiera Hogan, starting to look like Red Velvet might be next. But it's just like, what else is there outside of that? Like, nothing.
Yeah, that's, I'm feeling like it's getting a little stale.
Oh yes. Yes.
You know, it's getting a little stale. And I just need to see somebody, even if she doesn't lose, I need to see somebody take it to Jade, kind of put her on the ropes a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like she's been dominating everybody, that it's just, okay, here we go again. Here's another person to come in and lose and whatnot. Yeah, I just feel like it's getting stale, you know?
Yeah, and but I completely agree with you, where it's, if the matches were, competitive and entertaining, I don't think it wouldn't have lost so much steam so quickly. But the fact that most of these are not, how do you want to put it?
They're not
good.
And the thing is, there's not no drama there.
No.
There's nothing. I need to see someone at least take Jade to her limit to see if she could swim with the big dogs.
Yeah, because it seems like, as far as I can remember, and that's already enough of a damning statement here, where I say that some of the matches that I can even remember of hers, her title matches, have always literally been the same thing. Mm-hmm. Either the challenger starts out hot and then she just puts them away, or she starts out hot, they try to mount a comeback and she just puts them out. It's just like, there's no drama. Like you said, there's no excitement. There's just no competitiveness. It's just, you just sit there going, yeah, okay, she's not going to win. Like, even Nyla, as much as I love Nyla, I'm like, she's not beating Jade. It's just that there's no way. And it's just not, it's not working. It's really not working. But the thing is, and I think some people hopefully agree, that until Statlander comes back, what are they going to do? Like, are you going to have her hold the title until Statlander comes back? And we don't even know when that's going to be. Because we said before she got hurt that Statlander was going to be the one to beat Jay. That was the only one that made sense. But if we don't know when she's coming back, who are you going to have take the belt off her? If anybody. But if you're going to have it set on maybe Statlander's going to take it off her, how are you going to hold people over until that point? Because I don't think a lot of people have much patience left with this. Yeah, I know I sure don't.
Agree. I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, I wanted to be proven wrong. We said it before with Jade, but right now it's just this is not it. This isn't working, and I have a feeling we're going to be dealing with this for a lot longer, but I hope I'm wrong, but who knows. All right, so Jeff's last question is this. It was funny because when he asked me that, I said that you and I both know the answer to this question, but do we want Vince to come back to WWE, or is it better off now than it was because of the rumor? Obviously, he's trying to come back and, you know, make a comeback. No, come on. That's like the Bianca and Ronda question. That's not even, it's an easy answer. Absolutely not. I don't want Vince to come back.
I think he just needs to stay home and do whatever he was doing earlier. You know, like, yeah. He's just, I mean, to a degree, I mean, he still owns majority shareholder of the WWE. So, like, just ride the wave, man. You're about to make so much more money. People are actually enjoying the product, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the biggest thing, is that people that didn't enjoy the product before are enjoying the product now, you know? And the product is good, but it could be great, and it's not great yet.
Yeah, and with him, it would get worse.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, and you know, it's weird for me because I'm a wrestling fan from the late 80s, you know, the golden age of wrestling where McMahon was at the helm. So it's like, as scummy as a person as he is, as a tyrannical billionaire that he is, like, he still has a soft spot in my heart, being the person that was the helm of wrestling when I was a fan. But Triple H was always my guy, you know, and Triple H has a great sense for the wrestling business, you know, and he has his finger on the pulse of what people want to see. I think that's what made NXT so great before, was he knew that there was wrestling outside of WWE and that he could capitalize on that. Because then when he was at the helm of NXT, we saw people like Samoa Joe come in. Then we saw Kevin Owens come in, attack Sami Zayn, who was also an indie darling. Then we get the Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa saga. Yeah. You know, so it was just like bam, 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 bam. And he can actually do this on the main roster now. I feel like there's inklings of that happening between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens now. What's going to happen there? Are they going to end up being a team? Because everybody's like, oh, they're going to team up and take the belts off the Usos. What if that doesn't happen? Yeah. What if it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? They are destined to fight each other forever. You know? So, and then what about when they finally put some seriousness into Johnny Gargano, and maybe when Tommaso Ciampa comes back, they could reignite that and put that on the main roster. For people that didn't watch NXT at the time that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa were battling it out, putting that stuff on the main roster would blow their minds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just, Triple H knows what people want, and he also doesn't insult their intelligence either. So, I don't want Vince to come back again. When I came into wrestling, he was also at the helm. Was it the best, like, back in the 80s? Absolutely not, but he was still in charge. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just let him stay home. And same thing with those rumors, too, that if the talent and everybody that was asked about that rumor said absolutely not, we don't want him back, that pretty much tells you what you need to know.
Yeah,
for everything sure. is fine without him. Don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, please.
That's the truth.
I'm begging you, please. All right, so I do believe that is all of Jeff's questions. So, Jeff, thank you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Let's go back to... All right, so to our tweet now. So now we're going to do mom's question, and we're going to start off with the one that I was very interested to answer because her and I talked about this all weekend, and it's off of what we already kind of talked about a little bit. It's reported that Triple H clearly was underwhelmed by some of his rehired superstars. Does anyone stand out to us about who he may be talking about? I have two. You brought up one that I honestly didn't think of, but it makes sense now. Hit Row is, I think, a big one for me because that match this week on SmackDown, it was just... The worst part about it was, too, that it did... Not only did it not do a single one of those teams any favors, it really did not help Hit Row at all. Like,
no, it didn't.
It made them look terrible, and then on top of that, you had probably the worst team out of those three win the chance to face the champions. It's like, oh, yeah. That was not good. That is just not good. And I think, at least for me, I think it's not... Hit Row is not the same without Swerve. He brought that just little special extra, I don't know, spice to it because it's Swerve. The guy just oozes charisma, and they had something going in NXT, and it was just a shame that it just ended the way it did. But yeah, I think Hit Row without Swerve is just not the same, and it's very obvious because in the ring too, the problem is Top Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis and B-Fab, they're good on the mic to a degree, but in the ring, they're not even close on to Swerve's level. So once you take the clear leader of that group on the mic and in the ring out, and now they have to stand on their own, we're seeing what happens. And it almost seems it, I think we can say it is safe to say they're getting exposed.
Okay.
And it's not looking good for them, at least for me, which is a shame because I liked Hit Row. It's just, I just don't think with the, without Swerve, they're not as good as they could have been, which is a shame. Another one for me, at least, I think Strowman. It's just what has he done differently than he's not done before? It's just I was never really a Strowman person to begin with, but everything he's done up until this point is just kind of like, okay, I've seen this before. It's like it's nothing new, at least to me. It's just the same. I'm just going to run people over because that makes people excited, I guess. And it's just like, it's just not it for me, I don't think.
Yeah. Do you have any more?
Well, you said Gargano. I wanted you to touch on that one because I honestly didn't think of it until you brought it up. And then I'm like, you know what? Yeah, this whole like comedy thing with him and The Miz and Dexter, it's like, yeah, you get it because of the whole The Way thing, so the connection's there, but we know he's such a good wrestler, so it's like, why are we just letting him do the comedy stuff? Like, at least
not
in
NXT. Not only that, but he's taken a couple losses too that you would just be like, why in the world would he be losing to someone like Baron Corbin, you know?
Yes.
who's kind of a joke in his own right, you
yeah.
know? So, I mean, for me, it's just like, I don't know. I know how good Johnny Gargano is in the ring and how he can be the ultimate underdog. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they could use that and it's there. I just don't understand why they have him go this route. That's the most confusing out of all of this whole Triple H regime thing is why do they have Gargano doing this comedy segments with The Miz stealing money and you know gimmicky matches with Dexter Lumis and things like that.
Yeah, and it's tough because they were doing the comedy stuff in NXT with The Way, but it was working because, yeah, he was, you know, the comedian or whatever outside, but then when he got into the ring, he was Johnny Wrestling. This is just like, what is happening? And like you said, taking losses to Baron Corbin, it's like, what's going on? This is not what we're supposed to be doing here. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you that Johnny's another one where it's like, what's happening, but I don't think that has anything to do with him, and I think it has just more to do with the booking decisions.
Right.
They're
not all gonna be home runs, that's for sure.
No, which is a shame, but you know, hopefully it turns around. Like we said, we have faith in Triple H to, you know, make it right, but right now there are some people that are like, yeah, this is something. I will say though, I know I wanted to get your opinion on this one because I saw this on Twitter, and it wasn't a direct tweet, but I saw people like talking about like, oh, well, I saw that there were people mentioning this. They were saying Dakota Kai and Io Sky were two of them too. And I'm like, absolutely not. I don't think so. Not even bias aside, they're running that women's division right now. So I don't know why people are thinking damage control is underwhelming, because I would not agree at all. So
actually, I had the exact opposite thought the last time I was watching damage control, specifically Dakota and Io. I was like, man, they actually look like they belong on the main roster.
Exactly. So not so sure what that was all about. So that is one of those where it's like, absolutely do not agree with that. Damage control, I think, have had some of the best returns since coming back. So he's definitely not underwhelmed by damage control. I can tell you that right now. No. All right. So this is another one that I'm sure we have a lot to talk about with this one. So Action Andretti can beat Chris Jericho, but all these other big names like Omega, Danielson, and Moxley can lose to him. What is up with that? So she was kind of obviously inferring to, as we always say on here, that he campaigns for, oh, well, I need to beat these guys because it's just going to be do so much for more for the ratings and this and that and the other thing. So I think she's more saying he can politic his way into beating all of these names where we're like, why the hell were you beating these people? Like, again, Danielson, Eddie Kingston, especially, and the list goes on and on and on. And yet you can finally be like, oh, yeah, I'll lose to the up-and-comer or the new guy. So what's up with that? I would love to know.
Yeah, apparently there's a story to this whole Jericho losing to Action Andretti. He saw him on an indie show a couple months ago and decided he wanted to make him a star, basically. This is what has been quoted on the dirt sheets. and we all know how I feel about Chris Jericho. We all know how I feel, you know, there's nothing new when it comes to us and Chris Jericho.
We are not a fan.
Not a fan. Nothing against Action Andretti. I think he's pretty cool. I think he's going to be a big star, but I would have preferred someone like an AR Fox or a Dante Martin.
Yeah, someone that the fans already knew.
Yeah. I mean, I got to give Action Andretti credit, and really got to give that Texas crowd credit, because they were on fire.
Yes, they were behind him 100%. So
yes, they credit. Were on fire.
But at the same time,
it's Jericho. He's got his, he puts a stench on everything.
I feel like if I'm sure you'll feel the same way. I feel like if I were, like you said, Air Fox or Dante Martin in the back, I would be like, okay, so you couldn't do this for me. Like, you couldn't, you know, give the rub to me, but you could give it to somebody who's never even been on AEW TV before and all of a sudden got a contract out of it too. It's like, okay, that's cool, I guess. Yeah, I'm just like watching it and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I don't get it. I'm not surprised, but I'm like, what is happening?
I wasn't mad at it. I thought it was a pretty cool moment. It reminded me a lot. It reminded me a lot of Santino Marella when he beat Umaga.
1-2-3 kid.
Yeah, 1-2-3 kid. It's just
why?
It's Jericho, man. I don't. I'm getting to that point where not even a jobber upset win is like blowing my socks off, you know? So no. It's like, get this guy out of here already.
Yeah, honestly, like, and the worst part is that it then transfers to other people he's associated with too, like Jericho Appreciation Society. People cannot stand Sammy Guevara. I don't think they really could stand him before, but being with him again doesn't help. Anna Jay has done absolutely nothing since going to the Appreciation Society. I think she's gotten, at least character-wise, worse, because what has she brought besides just, I don't know, screaming that she can like choke people out. Like, Ty Mello was, I feel like she was going somewhere before she turned heel. And so I kind of don't really get what was going on there, but, Hager, it's just like, he's been reduced to a meme at this point with the hat, which is funny. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like, okay, so someone like him should be like, you know, be a legitimate threat, but no, we're just gonna laugh at him because he likes his hat. And then Menard and Parker, it's just kind of like,
what have they done?
Nothing. Again, they're just comedy act, and it's just like, okay, they're literally just memes, that's all it is. And it's like, Garcia, everyone thought Garcia, we were finally going to get a decent storyline where it's, he's finally going to get away from the Appreciation Society and he's going to become his own person. And then it's, nope, we're just back to the usual. But it did seem like they're kind of hinted at him going away again, because remember, oh, you're going to shadow a mentor like Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are we finally going off of what we should have done the last time or what? But yeah, it's just, anything Jericho's doing right now is just, it's not it.
Not it. Definitely not it.
And it won't be it for a very long time, but whatever. What are our thoughts on Hook and Jungle Boy potentially as a tag team, you know, with Hook making the save this week?
I love it. I think it's a cool way to use two young, hungry, fantastic wrestlers, a total contrast of styles. You got Hook, who's just a flawless wrestler, and then you got Jungle Boy, who can fly around the ring. I think this would make a really, really cool tag team.
Yeah, I think so. Mom was joking, though. She's like, I wanted to include that I bet poor Danhausen feels slighted a little bit because Hookhausen isn't a thing now, but he's got his best friend, so he's fine. I'm glad they kind of put them back together, though. I always thought Orange and the best friends and Dan were always funny and always entertaining, so I'm glad they put them back. But, you know, shame we don't have Hookhausen anymore, but, you know, they can come back.
That was another big pop of the night from the crowd. When Hook came out, that place went nuts.
Yeah, because they hadn't really seen him in a little while. It's like, what's going on? I mean, I get that he's going to stand up to the firm, so it's like, yeah, I'd love to see him throw a big bill around just to see if he can do it. I'm sure he could, but yeah, I don't know about the firm either. I don't know if they're doing anything for me right now.
Definitely not for me.
Which is a shame, because of course I love Lee Moriarty, because, you know, hometown boy, but yeah, never really been into Big Bill. I feel bad for Ethan Page because I feel like he could do so much more besides constantly being in a faction of some sort. The Guns are, yeah. I mean, the Guns, they're not bad, but again, yeah, whatever. So it's just kind of, yeah, not doing it. It was just another faction that didn't really need to be there. And now it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of like, we're going to explain about us and or like, tell you guys what we're about, and then we're never going to really be seen again, even though we're still a team. Like, I don't know. It's not doing it. It's not working.
Not doing it. I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of the firm. I can't do another faction.
Yeah, can we please stop with the factions? Like,
I can't keep up with another faction. You're killing me here.
At least we got the best faction back, though, in my opinion, of course.
Yes, that just popped in my head, too.
We got the House of Black back, and we're happy. And, of course, that had to happen when I was gone, too. I'm like, what is going on? Like, it's a mess, but I'm glad that they... I mean, you don't want to get your hopes up because this shit's happened before, but it's like, if they're going to keep going the way they're going right now, oh, I hope they actually know how to properly use the House of Black now. And I love that, like we kind of said before, and again, not saying I talked it into existence or we talked it into existence, but we kind of did, where kind of making Julia kind of the de facto puppet master, because she was the one that spit the mist out in a Camarado's face. So, and it was fun. The announce team picked up on it. They're like, oh, usually Malachi's the one that does that. I'm like, yeah, so maybe he trusts her now to, you know, pull the strings and they're that's the doing the heavy lifting. But I'm okay with it. I love it. Of course I would, because, you know, we're card carrying members of the House of Blacks, so I just want to see them hold some gold. I need to see them hold some type of gold.
I think once this ordeal between Death Triangle and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega is over, I think we could see like a Death Triangle versus House of Black, and I would love to see that. That would be something I would love to see.
Which, first off, I don't know about you, but this whole Best of Seven thing's not really doing it for me either, because at least for the simple fact If the last three matches in your series are gimmicked, what makes you think they're not going to go to seven matches? Like, right. Come on. So it's not as exciting as it should be, because you already know it's going to go to seven matches. Because again, mm-hmm. why do you have three gimmick matches right at the end? At least if you didn't literally plaster those gimmicks on those advertisements, pretty much an all neon light saying, hey, this is going to seven matches. You could have just surprised people. If you would have had every single match just be a regular match up until the very end, when the last minute being like, oh, hey, guess what? It's actually this now. It could have been a little more exciting, but you know now that the Elite's going to come back and take it to seven matches, and God only knows what's going to happen after, but it's not doing it for me.
Not doing it for you. I got to say, like, the matches are okay. Like, they're the typical Young Bucks
spot fest. You know,
yeah, it's a typical spot fest. So it's like, it is what it is, you know?
It's not overkill.
Yeah, it is. But like you said, you know, it's going to go to the seventh match being an Escalera de la Muerte match, meaning a ladder of death. Which translates by the ladder of death. So I'm excited for that. I feel like they're gonna go all out for that, at least.
I think so. It's just a shame, because like we said, if you get a Young Bucks match, you're always gonna expect it to be a spot fest, which it's not a bad thing, but you take it in doses. But to get the same kind of match every single week for the next however many weeks, it's like, okay, this is just too much.
Yeah, and I just spread them out.
Yeah, and I just hope that this doesn't give the Elite the titles back, because again, I feel like it's still kind of a little too soon. I feel like it'd be kind of a shame for Death Triangle to be pretty much just the placeholders until the Elite came back and properly got him back, but I don't know. It's just this whole thing. Again, it's not really doing it for me, but oh well. I just have to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. All right. So, Mom, thank you for your questions.
Thank you, Mom.
And we are going to end with Jack's question. So, Jack, thank you as always. Starting off with a very interesting one. Does Bray need to actually do something besides talk soon? I feel like for you and me, no. But I feel like to the general public, yes.
Right. Yeah.
Because people are getting tired of just all the talking. Again, you and I have said we think it's interesting because we want to see what happens every week. What part of his inner demons are going to come out next? What's LA Knight going to do to provoke him? And whatever. We like that stuff, but we have some more patience than most wrestling fans. And I think people are starting to get tired of it. And they're going to pretty much have to wait another 2 weeks, I think. Month? Yeah. When is Royal Rumble? Is it the middle of January or end of January?
End of January. It's the last Saturday of January.
Okay, so you're going to have to wait almost a whole month to get that. And I don't know if people are going to be able to wait that long, but something's got to happen, I think, just for everybody else's sake. But yeah, I feel like at least let him get into an altercation or something instead of him just getting the shit kicked out of him in the corner of the ring. But
yeah, that was a little weird for me, not going to lie. I thought, like, he didn't even really retaliate any offense when he was getting.
He was kicked. Laughing.
Yeah, he was laughing. It was just kind of weird for me.
Yeah, it was weird for me too. So hopefully he. I feel like, at least storyline wise, hopefully by next week or a few weeks, he finally is provoked enough that he's like, "All right, you asked for this. I told you I didn't want any problem. I told you a few weeks ago that we knew how this was going to end, so you know what? You're gonna get everything that's coming to you, and then it's just going to go unleash unholy hell on him." But unfortunately, I feel like we may have to wait a few more weeks for that, but hopefully not, because people are going to get a little pissed if we don't see more action soon.
Yeah.
All right, so this is going to be a fun one. What are our top five opponents for Sasha outside of WWE?
Ooh. Top five opponents for Sasha outside of WWE.
Oh boy. I feel like at least the first one that comes to mind for me, because I've heard her in interviews say this is who she's wanted to wrestle, it would have to be Britt. I think that would be a pretty good one.
Yeah, that would be good stuff on the microphone for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I bet they could bring some fire.
Outside of AEW, I'm trying to think. I'd like to see her and Kairi Sane go at it now that Kairi's kind of, you know, got a bit of a resurgence now.
I was just thinking that too. Her and Kairi Sane would be great. Damn, it's just tough because I feel like Sasha Banks outside of WWE is going to be a completely different wrestler, I think.
Yeah, and we even talked about it through the DMs too that, oh, it was very tough, that whole contract situation with her, because I feel like if I remember correctly, the rumor was she wanted Becky Lynch and Charlotte money, and they said absolutely not. And I think the officials even went so far as to say they didn't see her as a top star in the next 5 years, which I'm like, ooh, that's tough, because you've seen
that's
what
she... That's ego.
Yeah, that is knocking you down a few pegs on that one, but which I will say, if you can believe your own hype, good for you. If you have that kind of self-confidence, I wish I had some of that. I don't, clearly. But you and I kind of talked about it, because I'm like, you know, back in the day, I would have been like, you know, that is a very crazy thing to say. But you said the second time she came back, it seemed like she didn't really have that same kind of spice. Yeah.
That's that's the thing right there. The second time she came back, she has a history of doing this. When she doesn't get her way, she kind of just goes on a sabbatical, you know, to find herself. Nothing wrong with that. But again, we come back to this whole, it's a business thing. Yeah. You can't really do that at your job.
It gets old. Yeah, I wish I could just be like, you know what? I don't want to stay here and I just go home. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know what I mean, though. Or it's just like, yeah, I'm not going to be here for another, like, 2 months, whatever. Can't do that.
That's exactly what she was doing.
Yeah, and it's almost like, because, of course, everyone's screaming for her to go to AEW. Because, of course, that's the alternative now, whatever. What makes you think she might not be the CM Punk 2.0?
Ooh.
She comes in, everyone loses their minds for, a month or two. But then after a while, it's like, okay, she's here now. We know what she can bring, blah, 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 whatever. The first second something doesn't go her way, what do you think she's going to do?
She's going to throw her WWE status in their face.
Exactly. And then we get another instance like CM Punk possibly. And that's just like, do we really want to go through that headache again? Granted, she's not going to be a big of a hit financially as Punk would have been, but do you really want to put the roster into turmoil again? Because we saw all the chaos that was going on backstage at the time. So is it worth it?
Because I don't know.
It's tough to be like, you know how good she can be in the ring. That's the asterisk, can be in the ring, but you have to pretty much walk on eggshells around her, because if you don't fluff the ego, you're gonna be in more for a world of hurt, and it's like, is she worth it at that point? I don't know.
I remember there was a point in my life where after she was having those matches with Bayley on those takeovers, I was like, Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world.
You couldn't
tell me anything different.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing you could tell me that would convince me that Sasha Banks wasn't the best wrestler on the planet. She was just that good. But she regressed. And part of it was the main roster just didn't produce the type of Sasha Banks that we needed them to produce. And part of it was her willingness to go that extra mile to make it work. You know? She's a liability, you know? That's the best way I could put it. She's a liability.
Yeah. And we also talked about it too. The whole thing with Naomi, they pretty much said, at least according to the rumors, that they told her, you have a decision to make. Either you come back without Sasha or you're gone. And we talked about this too. Is she really worth it? Like, I get that you felt as frustrated and disgruntled as she is, which I completely understand, because what did it seem like? Every other month she was trending on Twitter because people were saying she was being underused, which she was. Mm-hmm. Absolutely she was. But at the same time, your career is not her career. You and Sasha have two completely different careers. You have to worry about yourself before mm-hmm. you can worry about, oh, well, if she's not going to come back, I don't want to come back either. It's like, that's not how it works. Because you don't think in any other situation, if Sasha got the same ultimatum, she'd be like, oh, yeah, sorry, Naomi, bye. Because this is going to work better for me. Not necessarily you, but for me. At the end of the day, you have to be a little selfish, especially when it comes to your career and your livelihood. You don't want to step on your friend's toes, but in that kind of situation, you'd have to do what's best for you, not you and her.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, your friendship with Sasha Banks is not going to put money in your pocket.
No. I mean, clearly it hasn't.
You know, yeah, clearly it hasn't, because you've been sitting at home for the past couple, what, three, months. 4 months now?
Since May, I think, actually.
Jesus Christ, it's been that long already?
Yeah, it's been seven months, yeah.
Normal people don't do this. This is why it's so shocking. No.
I wish I could just sit home and relax for 7 months, but I can't financially. Right. That would kill me. So, yeah, right. It's like, holy shit, at some point, especially with Vince being gone and Triple H being back, I would like to think that he knows what he has in somebody like Naomi. So, yeah. I don't know.
On the flip side, you're thinking, well, Triple H is in charge now. Maybe some of my ideas can actually get put ahead and maybe will actually work. This is a perfect time for you to come back and work for the WWE, as long as Triple H is in charge.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. It's strange right now. I feel a little bad because I feel like we got off the topic a little bit, but we got at least one name, two names. I got Kyrie and Britt. Who else could we?
I would like to see her, and I think her and Jamie Hayter could have some good work.
I think so, yeah.
And I believe there's a story to tell with Saraya.
Yeah, oh boy, yeah. Especially if they really wanted to go there and be like, well, I would think they wouldn't be stupid enough to go that route with the storyline of you were the one that put me out of, like, almost took lifetimes off my career, which I wouldn't personally put that in there, because that could just open up a whole can of worms, because Saraya's gone on the record saying it was an accident. It had nothing to do, like, it wasn't malicious, it was just an accident, so I feel like that would be a very silly cop out of a storyline, but you could definitely make some quality storylines with her and Saraya, I would think. Trying to think if there's anybody outside of AEW again. Hey, why not her and Deonna Purrazzo?
Ooh.
Two technical wizards to a degree in the ring. That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
That's four, I believe. This is why we need Jeff's help. I know there's probably plenty of Joshis that he would say would be really good with Sasha in the ring.
She has that training background too.
Exactly. So also trying to think of some people like Impact too.
Jordan Grace would be great.
Yeah, Jordan Grace would be a good one.
Mercedes Martinez would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think, like, the names, obviously, with the Joshis, like, Mayu Iwatani, Haya Shishida, Shuri. Obviously, like, the top names, that would be obvious. Yamashita, too. Like, all the big ones, I feel like really you can put her with any of the Joshis and she'd do really well. Like you said, she's had that training, so I think she'd fit pretty well with the Joshis. But, yeah, there are plenty. It's just a matter of if the promotion is willing to take that risk.
And it's going to cost them.
It might cost them more than they think, but
it's going to cost them a lot of money. Because it's costing New Japan a lot of money, so much money that Jericho's like, nah, I'm still the highest paid. Jericho makes me laugh because he cannot, his ego cannot handle.
No.
He can't handle it. he can handle it. They said, yeah, they said that Sasha Banks is going to make more than Chris Jericho for her appearance for New Japan. And Chris Jericho is like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, right? Like, can't take it. Shot to the ego.
Can't take it, man.
So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be very interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we think is next for Ricky Starks? Jericho did name drop him in his promo. Oh, please keep Ricky away from Jericho. I'm begging you, please. that is a good question. What is next for Ricky? Because I feel like that was a star-making moment, that match against against MJF. So
yeah, it was a great match.
He's proven he can hang with them. So, what could be next for Ricky? It's tough.
I would like to see him and Samoa Joe go at it for the belts.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good. Those two on the mic. My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think that would be good. So, Ricky's just so good.
Yeah, he is.
He really is, and I think he proved it against MJF. And I think the one thing about AEW that they have right now is like everybody's so young.
Yeah.
You know, they got a good crop of young talent that they can really, really use. And yet they give TV time to Jericho and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
I don't know those moves, but as far as Ricky Starks, I would love to see him in a program with Samoa Joe for both titles, the ROH and TNT TV titles.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like really that's the only logical next step, because what else is there outside of that? You're not going to put him in a tag team. Like, what else is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll say he can, hopefully he'll get some type of gold. God only knows, but you never know. He definitely does deserve something though, because he's just been on a tear lately and he needs something for his efforts, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with you there.
Alrighty, and our last question is, how excited are we for Hook and Jungle Boy as a tag team? It feels like a great way to get Hook some experience.
I love it. I think, like I said earlier, the fact that they're so young, I think is going to endear them to the crowd. And yes. I think it's two different styles. You got the high-flying athletic ability of Jungle Boy versus the absolute wrestling flawlessness of Hook. Because Hook is just – everything he does is just like, wow, this kid is good.
Right? Like,
he just does everything so pinpoint with just quickness, with ease. He just – you know, moves around the body and just throws you around. I mean, the kid is just good, man. Imagine how good he's going to be in the next 5 years. World champion material, for real. Because that crowd, his music hit and that crowd went ape shit.
It went nuts. It was insane. So, yeah, I would love to see it, honestly. It's just, ugh. I'm excited for it, but then again, yeah. I feel bad for poor Danhausen, though. He lost his partner, but they haven't been partners for a while, unfortunately, but maybe someday we'll see Hookhausen.
Yeah, they could always come back to it.
They'll come back to each other eventually, I think, but either way, it's I'm excited for Hook and Jungle Boy. Like you said, you gotta get Hook some more experience. It's just those two, I think, are gonna have some crazy chemistry. Because sometimes the contrast of styles works wonders, because we get the technical prowess of Hook and then Jungle Boy's just going to be all over the place in a good way. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what these two can do.
For sure.
All right. I think that is it.
Wow. Another excellent segment of questions from our loyal listeners.
Yeah.
Can't thank them enough for always providing us with good content. It's because of them we're able to do this, really, like you said earlier. If it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't have such good content, but they help us put it out there. So thankful to our loyal listeners. And we're always looking for new listeners. So if you're a new listener checking this out, thank you, first of all, obviously. Thank you for checking this episode out, and you can always check out more episodes. This is available through Anchor FM, anchor.fm/ringside rundown, and through anchor.fm. They redistribute the podcast all across the board on the internet. So wherever you listen to your podcast, you should be able to find the Ringside Rundown. If you can't, all you have to do is find us on social media at the handle at Ringside Rundown, and we will deliver you a link to the podcast on a silver platter.
Yeah, we still have
We still have it. MJF says it's a piece, cheap piece of shit, but it's still good.
We think it's nice.
We think it's nice, and that's all that matters. So exactly. If you need a link to the podcast, we will deliver it to you, no problem. Like I said, you can find us on social media at the tweet handle at Ringside Rundown. We're also available on Instagram at Ringside Rundown if you want some wrestling pictures with your Instagram feed. You can also check me out on Twitter at Wrestling Cron if you want to talk to me about wrestling. That's Wrestling, C-H-R-O-N. I'm also a Twitch streamer. I stream on Twitch Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/EricTheGhost. Shay, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHixon21 and occasionally on Twitch at Shay_Hixon21. We'll get there eventually, slowly but surely. But definitely go check out Eric. His streams are always a good time. I would always recommend him.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But most importantly, check out the podcast. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Share it amongst your wrestling friends. Obviously, this was such great debates on things like Mandy Rose, Sasha Banks, AEW. So this is a great episode. I'm so happy that we got back on the horse. We might have to take another week off because it's Christmas.
I know. Not the best timing, unfortunately.
Yeah, we try to get this content out to you as much as possible, but real life gets in the way, and obviously with the holidays, we're going to be spending it with our family, so we might not have an episode for you, but we will have one in the coming weeks to give you a year in review, basically, of our favorite moments from this past year and what we expect to happen in 2023.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one, I think. We'll have to figure out and iron out the details of what we want to, talk about from the best of 2022, but it's going to be something. So definitely keep your eyes out for that. A lot of matches, a lot of moments, a lot of wrestlers. It's going to be a lot of work, but I think we can do it.
I think it's going to be great. So with that said, for Shay Hixon, my name is Eric Vasquez. We're going to get the heck out of here. And again, thank you for listening to the episode. Let us know what you think, and we shall check you out next time. Thank you, guys.
See you later, guys.